Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
3, 2.
You recording? It doesn't say recording on the.
Oh! Oh! How about that? There it is.
Wow. I got my note right here, folks. Got my note right here. Zoom recording. Oh, period.
Whoa, that's big.
That's a lifesaver. That's a lifesaver.
Welcome to Rosecast, the number one Bachelor Recap podcast hosted by a male and racial best friend duo. What'd you think of the episode, AB?
I was entertained, start to finish. Yeah.
You know what I didn't like?
What?
Most of my power-ranked people got little to no screen time. So what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to adjust the power rankings?
Listen, that's not your fault. I wasn't blaming myself. Take any responsibility for those poor power rankings. That's not your fault.
Before we get started, the big announcement.
No. Next week?
You're never going to believe this.
Next week?
Yeah, next week.
Aww.
It's going to be good, though. Here's the Rip.
Come on.
I know. Previously, it was my fault. Now I've run into a technical issue.
Oh.
That's all I'll say.
Okay.
That's all I'll say. But yeah, okay. So stick around. I don't know. This is not a bit. This is not a bit, and this is in the is not a bit Hall of Fame. I'm not doing this on purpose.
People are desperate for the information, Rim. And they're gonna eventually, here's what's gonna happen. They're gonna eventually not care and they're gonna say,
I think
I don't even
want
to listen to this podcast anymore because Rim's on that bullshit. So
yeah.
That's
what I'm worried about. Diminishing returns have already occurred. There's less excitement for the announcement now than there was. I'm ruining it, but as the wise man once said, it is what it is. Okay. I know you got to go, so let's get into the episode. We pick up where we left off last week. The physical health of one of the contestants is up in the air, undetermined. The locked her knees thing? You said that, and I was like, oh, interesting insight. Common. Apparently, many people were well aware of the knees locking. On the risers during choir.
If you've been on some risers, you know you shouldn't lock your knees when the lights get bright, period. Everyone knows that, Rim.
Period. I've been on risers. I didn't know that, but... So Sarah's down. Matt and Sarah head outside for... Get some air. Relaxing chat. You got to recharge after a faint. F-zero strip situation. There's some skepticism in the ranks about the sincerity of Sarah's stress. Here's a quote from Anna. She's getting exactly what she wants.
Wow.
At this moment, did you think maybe Sarah's putting on a little bit? Did you think that, AB?
I didn't. A couple reasons, Rim. She already has a rose.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you'd be stressed if you have a rose. Counterpoint to my own point.
I was going to say. Maybe solo PTI.
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe. Victoria chimes in, of course. She goes, pull it together and don't faint. She's like, not many people get mad at someone for fainting. Leave it to Victoria.
I'm not sure whose side I'm on through this entire episode, Rim.
Ooh.
I don't know what you feel, but part of me, I go back and forth. I think, okay, these girls are being kind of mean. Some of these girls are being mean. And it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, what she's doing. But also, what she's doing a lot of the episode is unacceptable. So I don't know how I would react.
Also accurate. I think you summed up what my... I have a big, like, end of episode spiel. You just summed it up. Everybody, spoiler alert, a lot of people are a little bit wrong. That's how I... yeah. There's no side to take here, I don't think.
Yep.
Back at the rose ceremony. Matt gives a little weird speech. First, he apologized. He has no reason to apologize. And then he made it seem... He kind of... Maybe I'm stretching here, but he made it seem like...
I don't think she fainted, by the way. Just to be clear, I don't think she actually...
Yeah.
I don't think walking outside is going to help you if you faint. Just one man's opinion.
It wasn't... A faint is like... I consider a faint a collapse to the floor.
Absolutely.
She was just like, let me chill for a minute.
Let me get the blood moving. This was just a let me chill, give me a water, give me an orange juice or something, get the blood sugar right situation.
I need a little mini Gatorade.
They went outside. Just to be clear, she was perfectly fine once Matt took her outside. She seemed fine.
It appeared to be fine. Anyway, my point is Matt made it seem like him being... not being unable to give everyone equal time was like the reason for Sarah's stress.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think a speech was necessary here. He could have just been like, hey, everybody good? All right, back to the roses.
I enjoyed the optics of when they went outside, you could see through the glass. And it was just the girls like sitting down there. They'd been there for 5 hours. They're tired of standing. There's girls sitting down and there you can see it was a good scene there.
Let's do recap. Date roses from last episode. So Bree one-on-one date. Lauren got a group date rose. Sarah has a one-on-one date rose. She has the most recent one-on-one date prior to this rose ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Roses last episode. Piper, Kit, Maggie, Rachel, Abigail. Remember Abigail? Chelsea, Jasenia, Katie, Serena C, Serena P. Then we were cut off last episode. Pick them back up. Kayla, Mari, MJ, Anna, Kaylee, and two of the people that are left are Victoria and Marilyn, which shocked me. I thought they would both get roses for sure.
Two-on-one situation, yeah.
Obvious.
Yeah.
And he gave the rose to Victoria. This was stunning, AB. What did you make?
I did not see it coming. Back to what Matt said, to answer your question, I don't think I ever answered what you actually asked.
I don't remember what I asked.
Why...
So.
He comes back in from being with Sarah. He apologizes. I'm confused what he's apologizing. What's he apologizing for?
Just for the stop in production. Again, let's just keep it moving, Matt. There's just no...
He didn't need to give a speech here. Yeah. I was surprised by Victoria as well, though.
I think this kind of... And you're kind of doing it now. I think we all kind of are glossing over the fact that Matt chose Victoria over Marilyn. That is an indefensible decision.
I mean, Marilyn went home. She went from getting the orchids. Remember, she got the orchids. Everything was looking good.
In retrospect.
This is a girl he remembered. He didn't give time to, but he remembers. And there might be something there because he gave her the orchids. So she went from that... to going home because of something a contestant said based on he didn't do any investigation. He just took the one side's word for it. He didn't ask anyone else. He got no other sides. It was just she said, and he took Victoria's side based on nothing from my knowledge.
I think this also confirms, now the orchids thing happened before Victoria came to him and made stuff up. But I also think it probably confirmed if he really felt a certain way about Marilyn, I think he would have kept her regardless of what Victoria said and then investigated throughout the week. I think that the orchids, I don't think Matt remembered Marilyn's favorite flower and arranged to have orchids vased up for her. I think that was, producers. I think it confirms our worst fears as producers. Sad. No roses. Alana, Ileana, Kristen, Marilyn, and Sydney. So in addition to Marilyn being sent home, Matt also sent the person I picked to win my bracket. Kristen. I picked Chris. When I said when everybody zigs, I zag, that was I was zagged into Kristen.
Sometimes you don't want to zag. No,
that was okay. An outrageous
folks,
zag.
Don't zag. You don't just zag to zag, like Rim's saying.
Bad zag.
Or else you'll end up with like this.
Speaking of the batch bracket, with the new people coming, I don't know if I made this clear enough. We're going to have an opportunity to change basically all our picks.
So you can change. Okay.
You'll be able to change the way they've made it seem. You'll be able to change all your picks that for rose ceremonies that have not occurred yet. So if you have Kristen, like I did,
you're not sunk.
You'll get to. Yeah. You get a reset. You get a reset.
Well, it seems unfair to the rest of us that didn't make those mistakes, but
It is. But what are they going to do? There's more people coming. That's the unfair thing, is more people coming.
Can we just talk for a second about the more people coming? What is the purpose of this?
I'm very interested to see if this has any reasoning behind it. Yeah.
It's too late. What's the like on other reality shows, if people go home unexpectedly or something, they'll bring in a couple alternates that they had. The Challenge, for example, just brought someone back. But what's the purpose here? This just seems unfair and completely to draw up drama, because obviously the people there are not going to like the people that come in, vice versa, because they're going to be treated poorly. I don't understand. If you want Matt to find love, I don't see how this helps.
I think that's, it's nothing. There is no reason. It's just to, they're not, I don't even think they're going to pretend there's a logic behind it. They're just gonna be like, oh, more people are here. And then that's it. That's how it's going to go.
Okay.
During the ceremony, AB, I made the executive decision that I think Victoria is an actress, a producer plant, whatever you want to call it, because her little speech, she goes, Marilyn, manipulative, toxicity, jesters, Victoria, positivity, realness, Matt's heart. That speech was like, okay.
No,
that
Rim,
sealed
that's
it
just,
for me. That sealed Victoria being
that's just
a
couple
show.
Word association bubbles she's doing out loud. No big deal here.
Toxicity. Really not even.
Marilyn,
not even,
toxicity.
Matt's heart.
Matt's heart in her bubble.
I just think she's putting on a show, and I don't think there's any doubt. That sold me, I think. Anyway.
That's fair.
The next day, anything else on the rose ceremony?
We aren't at the point that I know enough about enough people to really care about who's going home at this point. I didn't care about any of them. I was surprised by Marilyn, but also didn't care that much. It's not like I'm upset that she went home. I'm surprised that he made this decision, but the other people I didn't even like.
Alana, Ileana, and Sydney, I could
no
not
clue.
Pick
no
out
clue.
The lineup right now. Yeah.
Kristen, I had no idea about either. And, until you said you picked her to
exactly.
win. So.
There's just too many. The problem with so many people is everybody gets a little less screen time than you would if there's only 26. So you know everybody a little less outside of the one-on-one dates.
I will say, I think Marilyn might have got one of the rawest deals in Bachelor history. She got no date, and then she was cruising to a rose to get some additional time and be on the show longer. And then, no fault of her own, she's going home now.
Sad. She was on track to get multiple flowers on the night of a rose ceremony. The
and
orchids
I'm not,
and a rose.
And just to be clear, I'm not saying she's innocent completely, because there might be some truth to what Victoria's saying.
Who knows?
I
we'll
have
never
no
know.
Idea. But you need to do a little more investigation there, Matt.
Absolutely bonkers that he said. I mean, that's... He picked Victor. That just
Victor.
Happens so rarely.
Yeah, he just picked
this
her.
Early in a 1v1 conflict. He just picked. He
now,
just picked Victoria.
I will also say we're going into this way too much. I'm sure, but yeah. I will also say regarding Matt, good move on his part. He's just gonna nip the conflict in the right there. It's not gonna go on any further. I'm just gonna make my choice. We're not gonna do this anymore. I don't really care
that's
that much about
zone.
Either of them.
That's quite well. That's true. But Victoria, before Marilyn's even out the door, has turned her ire to Sarah. She's like, "Well, Marilyn's gone. Let's move on. Next person to conquer. It's Sarah." Anyway, the next day, everyone's excited for a fresh start, even though Victoria's still there. There's nothing fresh about this. The toxicity gesture is still in the room. Chris strolls in, says, Matt has trouble feeling uncomfortable. Chris says, hey, I had a hand in curating these dates this week to kind of help him get to that spot. So I figured one of these is going to be book related and the other is some sort of Manly Bands sponsored date. Here's a date card. Rachel, Bree, Lauren, Kit, Serena C, Victoria, Kayla, Anna, Kaylee, Katie. Today's a surprise for everyone, and outside Matt says he doesn't know what the date's going to be. Anything there, AB, before we get to the group date?
Nope.
Daytime. We got Ashley I reading some sultry Turn the Lights Off, Baby, the News is On. book. Something. Something.
Smut.
It's smut. It is soft erotica, I think is a generous way to put it. It turns out that's Chris Harrison's book that we joked about.
Crazy.
I did not expect that at all.
I didn't either. That did not jump in my head when I heard her reading this at all. Didn't think that was the type of book Chris wrote.
I don't read a lot of romance fiction. I don't know. I just didn't expect lurid details of the... I just didn't expect that style of writing. I just didn't. But now that we know, it makes me want to read it more. Period. 50 Shades of Chris Harrison. So here's the group date activity. Everybody writes their own steamy love scene about themselves and Matt. Also, a couple other things. Silver, good parts about this date. Creative writing activity. Maybe you can show off a little talent you have if that's your thing.
Sure.
Producers can be hilarious with beeps.
You can beep anything you want, and it's funny. The mind just wanders.
For example, I think at one point somebody said she flipped him over so she could. I said that for real so that you would laugh, and then I'm going to beep it. I'm going to do long beeps, and it's going to be funny. Yeah. You see, just to prove the point.
Beeps are funny. Beeps are funny.
Okay, the readings. Oh, the people who aren't on the date are also there, similar to Claire's season. Pack them all in a room.
Yeah, you get everyone in there. The people that aren't on the date sit in the back. You get an audience. Ashley and Chris, I think... we're kind of like judges, but there wasn't any. It was just a winner.
It was just everyone having fun, like a poetry read. Everybody having a good time at the reading.
It's just fun. Matt, I thought
Sexy Barnes and Noble.
I thought Matt did pretty good.
I thought he did good.
Something about eating chocolate cake off of someone. Something going on there with the chocolate cake.
He goes,
Chocolate cake. I didn't know exactly what was going on with the story, but I thought he did pretty good.
I'm not sure how much detail you want to go into.
The other thing is you don't know who he's talking about, Rim. You know he's got someone in mind. Just someone.
Wow. Who do you think it was? Without giving up the number one spot in your power rankings.
No clue. There's no way to tell.
Me neither. I don't think he was thinking about anyone in particular.
Probably not.
Yeah. I don't know how much detail you want to go into these individual... I got a couple notes on a few of them.
Well, let's hear it.
Anna, she was up first.
She's a copywriter, so I had high hopes for her. I will say that.
A couple of easy puns. Full package. Mm-hmm. Funny ending. When the climax of the story, if you will, is that Matt tells her she's the only one to make it to Fantasy Suites. That's a funny ending.
It's very funny.
8 out of 10.
Anna. You know who she reminds me of, Rim?
Hmm.
Modern Family, the wife in Modern Family, Julie.
Oh, what's Julie her name? Bowen.
Bowen, yeah.
Yep. Wow. High praise. Look next time.
Looks like her. Okay.
Bree. Kay, I don't have any notes. I'm just reading a list of names now. Bree and Kayla go. Kit was good. Kit has the voice for this.
She has
genre.
A little acting talent, I noticed. Yeah, She's got a little talent there. It sounded like she was doing a table read for a successful movie.
Lauren. You said acting talent. My mind went to Victoria. Lauren's up next. Couple beeps with Lauren. Rachel had a little best of both worlds.
Well, she's the one who is most nervous about this whole situation.
Mm. You know, a lot of them said they were nervous, and then they got up there and just nailed it.
Yeah.
Like Katie. Katie said she was really nervous, and then she just went off.
The entire thing was bleeped.
It was very funny. Everyone was laughing. Chris was laughing. Katie's was very good. I think they saved the best two for last. Victoria. She had the king and queen theme. She tied in like girls being fake in the house, like a little bachelor theme. The Yes Queen ending, which ties in with her.
It was great.
I mean, it was pretty good. It was good. It was good. Everyone loved it. Everyone loved
Not only that, but the people were, you know, doubled over in laughter rim in the crowd. Yeah. This is what I started to wonder. Do these girls even dislike Victoria anymore?
That's what
it seems like
she got a standing ovation.
It seems like everyone's team Victoria as the dates go on.
I don't remember who it was. It might have been Lauren. Someone was like, obviously Victoria killed it. She's great at this. Like there was a pro yeah. Victoria feeling in the room.
Yep.
Anyway, I thought this was a hilarious date. Big funny readings. A lot of reaction faces to choose from. I liked mm-hmm. it. Anything else on this? It's good.
No, fun.
Fun. Sarah, just a note, who she was one of the people watching this date, not
Debbie
on it.
Debbie Downer.
Yeah, the vibes. The vibe. Sarah's bringing the vibes down for a lot of this early part of the episode.
Everyone's having a blast and she's taking it all serious. We're not being serious right now. Okay? None of these people have done this with Matt.
Exactly.
Chill out.
She was acting like, I can't believe they did these things. It's like, yeah. It wasn't real. It was creative writing activity.
She said hearing these words from these ladies was a knife to her heart. A knife to her. That is a little dramatic.
It's a little dramatic.
This was a goofy activity they were all forced to do. They didn't ask to do this or just volunteer what they'd like to do to Matt. This was just fun. This was funny. No big deal. Chill.
I'm trying to see how that thought process would make sense. And it's, you know, six people left.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Not 19.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because then it's like it gets more real. With
maybe right
people.
After Fantasy Suites, if they did this activity, yeah, that would be something to be concerned about. But right now,
what are y'all talking about?
There's 20 people. Come on.
Yeah, I didn't.
Just back joking around.
Group, back with the group. The group who wasn't on the date, but who went to the date, including Sarah. She said it was really hard for her to have spent the day with him. She didn't think it'd be this hard and that she'd be so jealous. So starting to see this theme crop up with Sarah.
Well, the rest of the girls are just, you know, that was fun. That was a good activity. Yeah. I mean, that was a fun day in this bubble that we're in. And then Sarah's like, no, actually
wasn't
this was
fun.
Wasn't fun at all for me.
Nighttime, aka the after party. That's an official rebrand. I don't know if you noticed that. It is not the nighttime portion of the day. It's the after party.
I can get down with that.
I don't mind it at all. I just want to make it clear. Rachel up first. After
well, hold up, Rim. Have you noticed
Matt's toes stink? No, go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly. Have you noticed stink. Matt's? Now they sound all right, but if you listen closely to what he's saying, the words he's saying don't make any sense. No. Here's what he says this time, Rim. It was fun seeing you all in your element. What are you talking about? What are you talking
that
about?
Any sense.
This is none of their elements. This doesn't make any sense. It sounded good on the outside. Like, yeah, Matt's pretty good at speeches. He's well-spoken. But the words he's saying, usually, and I think I have another couple examples, they don't make any sense. What are you saying?
To exploring love tonight. They're very bland. They can
apply generic,
to anything.
But he's not using... These are templates that a bachelor should use, but he's not using that template in the right circumstance.
No, it's a Mad Libs. Yeah. Of speeches. Rachel up first. Rachel's getting a lot of interview time, a lot of camera time for someone who hasn't had a one-on-one date yet. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. So a lot of people, you may have noticed you could share your rankings on Instagram now with our little Instagram temple. A lot of people ranked Rachel in their power rankings. So I don't know.
I can see that.
Seems like a spoiler, but we'll find out. What do you make of this conversation? Something here, in my opinion.
I agree. Something is there. Matt says he's happy with how their relationship is progressing. I haven't seen that progression, but I will take him his word
Mad
for
Libs,
it. Okay?
Mad Libs.
Rachel mentions that she has not felt this way this fast ever before. That's a good sign as well.
Matt also kind of made it seem like he could visualize, like he can see
this working. Your
story made it seem like something that could happen, which means Matt was thinking about it happening, something there. And then they kiss. Eyes wide open from Matt, you're right, it's that happened multiple times. That really occurred. I don't know what to say. I feel like you're going to ask me to somehow defend that. I'm not, it's weird. And I will say that Matt on Twitter was basically posting screenshots of these kisses and making jokes about it. So he knows it's happening, but like, I don't know how to explain that. Do you have any comment? They were open. They were open here. They were open there. They were open everywhere with these kisses.
I just would like to know what he is looking at. What is he looking at?
Their eyes. I don't know. You're on
their
TV.
Their eyes are closed.
You want me to try to defend it? Keep your head on a swivel. You never know what's going to happen. It's weird to kiss in front of cameras. There's people all around. Maybe you're just like, laughing at me? I don't know what's going on.
So the only explanation is keeping an eye out for someone.
Yeah.
Coming. Kind of keep peripheral vision open at all times to see if someone's coming to get you.
That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know how this would happen, but I want someone to find out that he's doing this and then kiss this season and then kiss with their eyes open. Catch him.
Catch him looking.
So they both have their eyes. That's my ideal eyes open kiss scenario.
What do you want us to do about the eyes open here?
I don't know. It's unbelievable.
We both agree it's very weird. Never seen anything like it before in my life.
Certainly not on a repeated.
I don't know why he does it.
That's how he kisses. It's like, I have enough evidence to say that he does this more often than not now.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Bree had a little time. They talked about how her reading was a little more reserved compared to the others. Matt appreciates that. The mystery. Go ahead.
They also mentioned she must have touched on something that relates to their date as well. I didn't catch that as she was reading. Maybe they didn't show that part, but she apparently touched on something that happened in their date as well. Get a little personal with the story.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Short time together, but a lot of smiling, a lot of giggling. Smooching, eyes open, obviously. I thought other than that, it went well.
Matt also mentioned something about she was more reserved and he liked that.
Yeah.
Now, later in the episode, he says the exact opposite to another woman, just to be clear.
Yep. I mean, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I think I have a note later. I think Matt is probably awesome in the moments where they're not doing the show. If you saw the very end, he had the hiccups thing. That was funny. Mm-hmm. Matt, in between hiccups, when he wasn't doing the speech for the camera, seemed really great. There was a one-on-one date later when they're again in the hot. He just seems.
I think it's nerves, Rim. He was nervous the first night. And now I think it's like, I can't botch this speech.
Yes.
So he has these speeches written. They don't make any sense. And he does botch them. The more you not don't want to botch a speech, you're going to botch it. And that's what's happening
to
Matt right now. That's just speech.
I think you're right. He's
in his head, Rim, and it's a problem right now. It's like when a baseball player gets the yips when they're throwing the ball.
This is Matt's Chuck Knoblock.
He has the yips.
Not a lot of people are going to appreciate the Chuck Knoblock reference, but that guy was throwing the ball into the stands.
He couldn't hit a barn door, Rim.
No, he really couldn't. All right, back at the house. Everybody's cozied up. Abigail wants the date card. Maybe she'll get it, Abigail.
I can see that.
For a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't. Serena P.
Back to the eyes,
card.
Rim, one
sure,
more thing.
Not.
I had one other note about the eyes. I think eventually it'll be his downfall because eventually you're going to look. Like, what if you kiss a person enough times, eventually you're going to notice, wait a second, they're coming in with their eyes open. And that will be the end of each relationship. It's weird. That's not something you can move past. I don't think I can move past that.
You know what? The next step in our observation of this is determining whether or not he leans in with his eyes open, which I have a feeling he does, or if he leans in
close
and
then opens.
And then that the latter? You don't want the latter.
Eventually, each girl is going to see him doing this, and it's going to weird them out.
When are they going to see him doing it? Their eyes are closed. They're following protocol.
There's some flaws in my argument here,
Rev. I think so. They're not watching. They're not watching him do it. Okay, we're still at the house. Serena P. gets the group date card, or the one-on-one date card,
excuse me.
The group notes that Sarah is not there. She's in
her
bedroom.
She just didn't come down.
She didn't come down. Upstairs, Sarah's by the fire. I don't know what Sarah's room situation is, but she appears to have her own. Now, you know, now that I think about it, this place probably has like a college dorm. Each floor has a lobby, a common area, because she's got a nice multi-couch hangout area, a common space. So that's where I think she is.
You think she has a room, or that's just her floor? That's part of her room?
I don't think that's part of her room. Oh, where the really? Couches are, I don't think that's part. It's too big.
I think she just has a suite.
Agree to disagree. I don't know.
When you're if she's hiding from everyone, like they said, why would she go to a common area? She might get seen by someone.
No, because they're all downstairs where they're supposed to be, as directed by the people making the show. They said, everyone go downstairs. It's time for the group date card.
That's true.
The date card. Excuse me. So she's struggling with being on The Bachelor because she's dealt with faithfulness and commitment issues in the past.
Infidelity.
Infidelity, sure. She can't get past the fact that Matt is having these special moments with other people. For the record, 19 people left.
And the special moments she's referring to are made-up stories they wrote about sexual encounters.
The special moments with the other people are...
That's what I'm talking about.
Made-up nonsense. Maybe she's just like, well, Matt's laughing, connecting, and hugging with these other people. Hey, she's not used to seeing that.
It's fine. Hey, I'm okay with that.
There's logic here. There's logic here.
Absolutely. I'm sure it is hard to see a person you care about romantically being and feeling the same feelings with other women. Now, you signed up for this.
It always goes back to The Bachelor. Yeah. So she's going to do something about this, AB.
Mm-hmm.
And that something is interrupting a group date that she's not on.
Wow.
We've seen this before.
Of course. Never ends well.
It usually doesn't end well, but sometimes it doesn't end horribly. I can think of one instance I'll bring up later.
Okay.
So back on the date, Sarah emerges from the depths of wherever they are behind the curtain to break up Matt's conversation with Katie. Katie goes back to the group and says, hey, Sarah just interrupted me. You're never going to believe this. Sarah just interrupted me. What do you got on this conversation, AB?
You got to love Victoria's response. It goes with my feelings.
Yeah.
Based on the rules of this show. Yeah, I would go ahead and interrupt a group date, but I would never, ever go on another person's group date. That crosses the line.
Crosses the line. That's a fact.
And she's right. She's That's right.
Factually correct. Yeah. The rules of group date decorum. Obviously, you do whatever you... If you're on the group date...
Whatever you want.
It's Anything fair goes. Game. Do whatever you want. Yeah.
Get your time however you want.
Yep.
That's not against the rules. That's your group date.
If you're not on a group date, totally... Absolutely
Don't
crosses
show your face.
The red
yeah,
line.
No. Yeah.
So Sarah and Matt are there talking. It's been hard for her, AB. I feel like I had to tell you how I'm doing. I don't know if that's a good enough.
That's not a good enough reason.
That's not a good enough. That doesn't justify.
No.
This. The other girls are like, Katie, is she dressed up? Like, it looks
What's
could kill.
The
are we in trouble here? Is she absolutely smoking in the dress right now, or what are we doing?
What is the situation?
Should
here?
We be really worried about what she's wearing? Because if she's stunned, then we're in trouble. So Katie goes back to see. Hey, you know, can we do the? Can we get back to the group?
Let
date
me go.
Now?
Let me go check her outfit out. I'll come back.
What do you got on Katie? Awkwardly lingering around Sarah and Matt's. Nonsense discussion, I might add. Sarah and Matt were not talking about anything important.
They weren't talking about anything. I think on first watch, I was like, Kate, this is awkward from Katie, and I don't know if this would be how I went about it, but I think what she did on second watch, she walked over there, she kind of stood back, there was a little area where you could hear, because it was just like a little canopy that was...
Oh, yeah.
You know, a temporary thing that was wall was up, so she could hear them around the corner. She stood there a little bit. She realized, wait, they're not talking about anything. Let me bust this shit up. So then she goes back over there. She stands there awkwardly. She's like, you said it'd be a couple minutes. It's been longer. Can I get my time back? I'm okay with everything
from me.
I'm okay with everything Katie did. I think she realized they weren't talking about anything important, and that's when it was time to step in.
So when someone interrupts a group date, like they were saying later, you assume, oh, this is
something's
big.
Wrong.
Something's
yeah.
going on. Like, and then when Katie realized, oh, they're just
shooting the shit like I was doing.
Yeah.
Let me bust
like,
this up.
Let me get that. For those who didn't watch, the canopy thing AB was talking about was like a temporary wall, like when like Shelley Long had in True Beverly Hills in her bedroom when she was changing. It's one of those like 80s deals. Anyway, so Katie jumps back in the second time and sits
down.
Like that she sat on the
sat
couch.
Down. She's
him.
Like,
that's funny.
Okay, I can see you're just going to keep talking, so I'm really going to make this awkward at this point. We're going to end this.
Down.
This isn't happening anymore. So she plops down. Sarah's like, can you just walk me out? This is ridiculous.
Sarah seemed very inconvenienced by Katie wanting to... I mean, think about this. Say this out loud. Sarah was very annoyed that Katie was interrupting her time with Matt.
Just to be clear, this was Katie's only time with Matt.
Sarah's not on this date. She interrupted
everybody. She interrupted everyone. We'll talk about this later because Sarah then goes and talks to the group. And that's when, I mean, we're talking funny stuff happened there. But just to be clear, to set the scene, Sarah hadn't had her date yet. So she was going to get time. This was Katie's only time with him, in particular Katie, because she's the one that got her time taken.
Yeah.
Assuming the rest of the girls will still get time. So this is especially troublesome for Katie. She took her time, and then Sarah's acting like Katie coming back to interrupt.
How rude.
Was rude.
Then Matt walks her out, and by walk her out, I mean they go to a
they
dark corner
out.
And make out.
Make out.
This happened. What? Skirt?
No, not skirt. They made out a lot in these situations that made me think Matt really likes this girl.
Yes. And also inappropriately so.
Yeah,
scenarios
absolutely.
Where you really shouldn't be. This reminded me of remember when Cam interrupted a group date for on Hannah's season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing. They talked and then they kissed at the end. And I remember being appalled by that.
Yeah.
And that just happened here. Only it was almost more nefarious because it was like, let's go out here and really make out.
Yeah.
On her way out, Sarah goes to the group, like you mentioned, to apologize for taking their time. Obviously, a little too late. What do you got on this?
She decides to face the situation head on. Now, she skipped the other situations where she'd be in a group because of how upset she was, but she decides to face this situation head on. She says she wasn't sure she'd get time to talk to him. Some of the responses from these women to what she said was hilarious, Rim.
Do you have them? Do you have
them? Yes. Immediately, Victoria, one of the funniest lines, she says, it's the first day of the week. She says that.
Yes.
It's the first day of the week. What do you mean you're not going to get any time? Another one says, they're all just chiming in. It's different people every time. I'm not even sure who else said something. Victoria said that funny line. Someone said, Chris Harrison said we'd all get time this week. It's not an issue at all. You'd get time.
At one point, Sarah says, I just wanted to let you know why I did what I did. But she didn't let them know
she
anything.
She didn't tell them.
She was totally secret. And again, when a person interrupts a group date, you think, this is big. Maybe they're going home. If Sarah's going home and that's what she came into the room to announce,
she would have told
them. She would have been met with no resistance. And it would have been, oh, I understand. For whatever reason, you're going home. Like, I understand why you needed to tell him that now because you're leaving.
Absolutely.
But when she was just like, I just wanted to talk to Matt.
I had something really important to talk
about. That's not good enough.
Well, exactly. That is not good enough. And you will get more time. What made you think you wouldn't get time? You already had a one-on-one date. You had a rose. You're obviously a front runner. What makes you think you're not going
to
get any time?
People there haven't talked to him.
Yeah, none of us have talked to him either.
Yeah. Outside to the camera. This isn't over yet. This is usually where it would end. No.
Not with someone like Victoria here.
Outside to the camera, Sarah says, the rest of them don't understand because their relationship with Matt has progressed, quote, significantly farther. For the record, Bree has also been on a one-on-one. Sarah's not the only one to have been on a one-on-one date yet. And
there's no way that she knows
this. I just keep going back to how early it is. And there's no way you know this. It's just so early. You don't know where everyone else is at.
Yep.
So Victoria goes outside to check on her. Obviously, Victoria's intentions this is are not pure.
This is not to check on her. She says, ladies, let me go handle this. And then she stands up, walks outside, and handles it.
She sandwiches the harsh criticism with some compliments. She's like, we know you're so
sandwich
great.
Room.
That's all this was. You don't see Sarah as malicious, so this must be serious. I really think that's what they were thinking. They thought this must be serious if Sarah's interrupting Matt. Sarah said, well, what we talked about was personal. Victoria says, that's fine, but it was a personal conversation on our time. And now people in there are not going to get time with him maybe at all. And it's just a big missed opportunity for those people.
I mean, here's the thing, Rim. If you look at it from the outside, there is literally no possible reason she could give to interrupting this group date outside of an immediate family emergency that she has to leave that
immediately
instance.
Leaving, yeah.
No. Anything else, unacceptable. Because even if she had a reason to talk to him, she could talk to him after the group date.
Period.
Plenty of people
that
go
happens
to their,
all the time.
Their hotel rooms and they have conversations. It's whatever. But interrupting the group date, there's no possible explanation for you doing it. And she didn't have one.
I don't even care if someone outside of a date, like Jed went over to Anna and like sang the song and got some time in their hotel.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you're not taking anybody's time from
them
when you
time.
Do that. So that's fine. That's the game. Anyway. And then Katie shows up. Victoria dips. I thought Katie was firm but fair here.
I agree.
I just don't think, I think from Sarah's perspective, I don't think she expected this much resistance. She probably thought, okay, I'm going to go interrupt a group date, get a little time with Matt, get a little screen time.
But I'm going to apologize. It's going to be all good.
Ruffle some feathers, apologize, smooth it over. For the most part, it'll be fine. That's what Sarah, I think, thought here. She did not expect multiple one-on-one confrontations. Like,
didn't think it would linger. Sometimes you have to realize, Rim.
No.
All apologies aren't accepted. It was just a simple, no, we're not accepting
not
your
Victoria.
Apology. You haven't given us any reason to accept your apology.
Not apologies, all right. Matt returns to the group.
In the doghouse.
Yeah, well, having not spent time with, I'd say, most of them. Most of them he didn't talk to.
Yep.
This is bad, AB. This is bad. Matt seems like a good guy, a nice
the
guy.
The girls are not feeling it either.
No, this was the same looks that were on the faces of the people on the group date when Peter gave Alea the rose after he sent her home. It's the same looks.
Just eye rolls, out of control eye rolls. They're laughing at things that he says because they're so ridiculous. Like, we don't care about anything you're saying right now.
I think they're mostly mad at Sarah, though. I think they're way more upset at Sarah than Matt.
I agree. Yeah,
for sure.
I agree with that.
Rachel gets the rose. There's something with Rachel. Keep an eye.
Seemed a little silly to give someone a rose after what just happened.
Well, if you don't talk to most people on the group date.
I know. That's right. Maybe extend the group date a little bit longer so you can talk to everybody. I don't know.
Bad. I listed off who I think probably didn't talk to Matt on this group date. They definitely didn't show it. Lauren, Kit, Serena C, Victoria, Kayla, Anna, and Kaylee. Only Rachel, Bree, and Katie, from what we saw, got time with Matt. Not good enough. Anything else on this? Disaster of a group date?
No, I loved it, though.
All right, let's take a quick break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Next morning at the house, Serena P, really excited for her date. And how can you blame her? She's at Nemacolin, the number one resort in America.
Absolutely.
This should be noted, the group shares a few laughs at Sarah's expense. She's upstairs. They're kind of making fun of her. Should be noted for context.
Well, she's not at another thing that they're supposed to be
at.
I mean,
they're all supposed to be there.
I can understand.
It's not a coincidence that every morning everyone gathers around this. Yeah. You know, they're not doing it for fun. It's part of the show.
They get a call. They get a wake up call, you know, from the hotel. Like, wake up call.
Big bang, 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 gotta bang on the door from Paulie.
Be downstairs in 30 minutes, period. Filming. This is a TV show.
What do you have on Matt? Showing up to explain what happened. He's here to like, hey, let's talk this out. I got an explanation. And then no explanation. What do you think about this?
Well, the problem was he realized, I think he thought Sarah was going to be there. So he's like, let me talk to everyone, including Sarah. And then he found out, wait, Sarah's not even here. This situation is not even close. This isn't going to, me giving a speech isn't going to smooth this over with anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I think he still could have said something to calm their nerves about how he feels about Sarah, but he didn't. And then he immediately goes upstairs to check on her. How do you think they're going to feel about that? They're going to think, oh, he's obsessed with Sarah and is not giving us the time of day.
We can listen, Rim. We can talk about the mistakes Matt made. Excuse me. We can talk about the mistakes Matt made all day, Rim.
Okay.
But
I'm fine with that.
Undeniably, he messed up here. Okay.
Good. Okay. All right. I like to point out, like I've said before, it's funnier when you have a lead stumbling,
making mistakes, leads who make mistakes are funny. Decision. He is about to go on, just to be clear of the situation, he shows up to go on a date with Serena. So she's excited. Usually they sit down, then they go.
You ready to go?
But this time, right before the date, he's clearly thinking about someone else, and he pauses the date to go talk to them. How does that feel for not only all the women, but especially Serena?
Especially Serena.
You know, his mind is not on this date. You know for a fact that it's not on the date.
He left the room.
He left the room.
bad move. She hasn't left the show,
no,
as far as he knows, and is not planning to. So if Sarah's not there, this is not urgent. This is not an urgent thing you need to solve if I'm the lead.
None of this is urgent.
No. Serena says, well, that stinks, but he said it's only going to be 5 minutes. An hour later, Matt returns. No, but really, here's what happened, AB. You're watching it. You're like, oh, you know, it's you got to sometimes say it out loud to realize how egregious this was. He sits next to Serena. Hey, you ready for our date? Hold on. Let me go.
Can you give me 5 minutes? Can you give me 5 minutes? And all the girls are like, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
He goes up to Sarah's room where she's in bed with the curtains drawn. He jumps in bed with her. Okay, come on, Matt. Number
one. Strange move. She says she was taking a nap. I don't know if you caught that either.
Yeah.
Not an acceptable reason to be missing. We're supposed to be down taping the TV show downstairs right now. A nap is not a reason.
The great Corinne missed a rose ceremony because she was napping, so.
That's true.
She told Matt, this morning I packed my bags ready to leave. Maybe, but you were just taking a nap. So how serious are you about leaving if you're sleeping? Are you leaving or not? Matt says he wants her around. Their one-on-one was real. All factual. I believe that. He obviously likes her. Yeah.
He also called it a tragedy. That would be a tragedy if you left. Seems like a little
more serious than that.
It's a stretch.
Last night when you came up, I was happy to see you. He says, that's fine. Wow. I'm also okay with that. You know,
I'm not.
It's a little. Maybe
I'm
you don't
not.
You definitely don't say that in front of everyone, but.
You have to set rules. There has to be rules. Otherwise, the same actions will keep taking place. If you let Sarah get away with breaking the rules, doing whatever she wants for no reason, it's going to happen again. And you're going to have a work. He's cruising for a bruise in here, Rim.
Yeah.
With everyone. He's making the wrong decisions and allowing people to get preferential treatments like Kawhi and with the Clippers. It's why that imploded.
Yes.
You let your star players do whatever the hell they want, and the other people aren't going to be happy. Okay? Yeah, Paul George. Yep.
I tell you what, Sarah's Kawhi Leonard is a good, really good. That's really good. Well said.
Can't give that treatment to people. No, you can't. Because everyone can't. You think MJ can pull this? No.
Nope.
She hasn't had a one-on-one. She can't pull this right now. You can't get preferential treatment. Everyone has to follow the same rules or the other people are going to be upset.
That changed how I thought about Doc Rivers as well. I've always been a pro Doc Rivers guy.
Too.
To hear those stories, I'm
it's
like, wait a second. Wait
you
a
would
second.
Think a veteran coach like Doc would have ran a tighter ship and not just let Kawhi do whatever the hell he wanted. That's just one man's opinion.
I think that as far as players' coaches are concerned, I'm pro. You want a player's coach, but then there's a
point line
where it falls off a cliff and it starts to be negative. That's just
Absolutely.
Where I'm going to be coach and talk.
Absolutely.
All right. He also said to her, if you didn't care, you wouldn't have felt compelled to come find me. The other thing he said, AB, which was even worse, obviously the other girls aren't going to be happy. I will come here every day. I'm serious. Every day I will come by here and say, hey, I'm thinking about you.
Matt,
don't
no the
do
fuck
that,
you will
Matt.
Not. No the
not
fuck you will
that.
Not. No, you will not, sir. No, you will not. You will not go to her room every day. That is unacceptable.
Play that out, Matt, in your head.
I think you're going to go there before. So let me, let's
play
this out.
Play this out, Matt.
Before every group date, no, and by the way, Sarah will not be attending rose ceremonies or anything. It'll basically just be Sarah doing her own thing on the side. It'll be, you know, you'll have two lanes of this show. So the rest of the girls will be doing one thing, following one set of rules. Sarah will just kind of be, if you want to talk to her, you can come talk to her and further your relationship or take her on dates or whatever. But there will also be these other 20 women who will have to go down there for group dates and rose ceremonies and all this. But you're going to go talk to her every day to let her know you're still thinking of her. No, you will not, Matt. You will not do that.
This is the what you just described would be the dating reality show version of Love It or List It. On the one hand, you have someone you're in a relationship with in that you are continued being in the relationship. That's the house you own. On the other hand, look at all these other houses you could own. If you want one of these, take one. If not, just go back to your house you own, which is Sarah. Anyway, they kiss on the couch, unacceptable, and then they kiss when he leaves, which is like, I'll miss you. Keep in mind, this is supposed to be, he's supposed to be on a date with Sarah right now.
We, and keep Serena, in mind, another thing, Rim, he said 5 minutes. We're talking over 5 minutes of screen time, which means it had been
an hour.
an hour.
I'm a lot more upset now than when at any point during my note-taking or watching period. Now that we're talking about this, I'm
we gas
Matt.
Each other up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's been not that bad. It's not that bad. To the camera, Sarah says she can't leave now after Matt says these things to him. Okay.
Okay.
Matt finally returns. He said, that was a long 5 minutes. Not a joke.
Not funny.
Not funny at all. Don't Does say that.
It, you got to look at the faces before you make a comment like that. Like, are they joking around or is it all scowls on everyone's face?
He says, I would have spent that time with anybody who was feeling that way.
That was an okay way to handle it, I will say.
But you just said he wouldn't have, there's no way he would have done that with MJ. I mean, that's like, come
it's
on.
It's a
that's
lie,
probably not
but
true.
It's,
okay.
He said it kind of, it's a way to smooth it over. If any of you were having these problems, I would be there for you. So how, what do
That's
you,
a decent,
what do you
right.
say if you're one of the women? You can't really say anything to that.
Yeah, you're right. And then he's got the old reliable, it's my first time. Anytime, he's got that in the back pocket. Hey,
the first time, he loves leaning on that. It's his first time.
What do you want me to do?
Also, just a heads up, Matt, there's only been like a couple multiple time bachelors, maybe one.
Well, he means being on the being on the Bachelorette or whatever.
Yeah,
and then
but
doing
still, this is you have producers there telling you what you need to be doing, and no one else has been a bachelor before either. So I don't know. It's
in his back pocket.
We're in the third. We're in the third week. It doesn't mean as much to me anymore that it's your first time.
I hope he.
I've never
does
done
something
it.
I hope he does something. I hope he does something untoward in the fantasy suites or something.
Hey,
and
first
they,
time.
And they goes, hey, what do you want me to do? First time
in fantasy suites.
Got me some slack here. Serena P won a 1 day daytime. Beautiful meadow, trotting on the horses. Beautiful. Serena's being really fun and enthusiastic, AB. She could have been annoyed after how this started off because it started off could not have been worse. But she had brought a good attitude. I like that.
I like Serena P. She's got good vibes, good energy, positive energy.
Smile. Yeah, she's great.
I like her.
Picnic. They talk about charcuterie boards. Unfortunately, they don't have a board. They just have a napkin. Just be
a
cloth napkin
on
the ground. I don't know.
Are you big into those?
I don't know how to like arrange. You know, I'm not an expert, but if there's one out, obviously, what am I going to turn down meat that I just put in my mouth? No.
Okay. Just checking.
You? You know, three young kids, there's not charcuterie boards out very often.
No, but if there's one there, I'll indulge.
Exactly. Maybe I'll have one for the Super Bowl when the Chiefs are playing. Who knows? Yeah. Serena, talking about her family. Her dad, not on board with this. When someone says that, I immediately say, I hope this person makes it to hometowns.
Yeah, really hope they make it to hometowns. Yep.
Her dad had a very, quote, linear life. School, job, career, marriage, kids. And she doesn't think that should be the, quote, standard. Matt agrees, AB. He did what was expected of him. When he got there, he realized this isn't my dream. This is someone else's dream. Mm-hmm. Matt, every episode has the, like, millennial moment. And I mean that in a positive way. Just saying things you don't often hear on the show. Anything on this conversation?
No, I thought it was a good conversation. They related on the topics, mm-hmm. and there was a connection here.
How about Matt talking about his mom?
Says she was purely optimistic about the whole scenario. I don't know what parent would be completely optimistic about this, but hey.
The benefits of being the lead far outweigh the benefits of just being on the show. Only good things come from being on the lead.
That's a good
point.
When
someone says, hey, I'm going to be the bachelor, mom goes, sure. All right. Big cash.
Ka-ching.
Ka-ching. The feelings that I've already had for you, Serena, throughout this experience, they're real. Don't know. I haven't seen that, but
they also mentioned,
I believe him.
They also mentioned that they've been there 3 weeks. And you kind of just forget about how long these people are going to be kind of just in a hotel room, not traveling anywhere.
Sitting around.
You forget about how long they've been. It doesn't seem like anything's really happened on the show yet. And they've been there 3 full weeks. A lot of them have had no time. So they've just been in a hotel, except for like the occasional taping where they have to go down with the group and sit there for a little bit. But they've been in a hotel room 3 weeks at this point.
You want to know my...
Yeah.
I'm always skeptical when they say time like that.
You think it's been quicker?
I think this is the start of the third week, and they're calling it 3 weeks. Because when Chris shows up and announces the week, he's like, yeah, it's still 2 weeks and 2 days, let's say. Still a pretty long time.
I'm with you.
They kiss. Couple donkeys walk up to him. Funny moment.
Funny.
Matt says he had a turtle growing up. Turtles don't do much. Serena thinks that's weird. She's right. Obviously, most childhood pets are weird pets when you think about it. And especially in the 90s, because they used to sell, I had many hermit crabs.
Those are weird.
Two generations of hermit crabs. Now that's weird, right? But back then, they used to sell hermit crabs at mall kiosks. Every mall had just hermit crabs in it. It just wasn't that. There's just pet stores everywhere. They were selling things with shells all over the place back then.
is this not the new kids, millennials, and what is it, Gen Z? Did these kids not have pets? These type of pets growing up? What was the thing you put like in a little tank? I don't even know.
Oh, sea monkeys. I had sea monkeys several times. Yes.
Are those real?
So sea monkeys are just brine shrimp, and what you do is you put like eggs in there. You had some too. Okay. Yeah. How long did they last? Because they get disgusting when they mature.
2 hours, I'd say.
Okay. All right. I always liked things in aquariums, but I didn't like... I always liked having an aquarium with things mm-hmm. in it, but I didn't like the things in it necessarily. Like sea monkeys are... I always wanted sea monkeys because, that's cool. You can just have this little thing with living things on your desk or whatever. Sea monkeys are gross. They're just gross little tiny shrimps, and they're like translucent so you could see inside them. They're gross. Yeah, they're gross. Sea monkeys are gross. I also had a lot of fish growing up, named after the Ghostbusters, of course, but that's a story for another time. Anyway, anything else on this date?
She's really young, 22.
Serena's 22?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
22.
So many people on this show, yeah.
It's just interesting, depending on the season, that really matters. Like, if you remember Becca, she was probably 21 or 22, and it was like, oh my God, look at this young girl on here. Serena, no mention of it. There's plenty of 24 and 23 and 22-year-olds on this season. It just depends on the season and who the lead is and what storylines they're going with, and if that matters at all.
So Ari was like 36. So Becca with a K... She was 21.
Excuse me, Ari, yeah. Did I think I said Nick.
Becca with a K, you didn't say either. Becca with a K was 21. But interestingly, on Ari's season, there were 22-year-olds, but only Becca was like the young one.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing with this season is there's a lot of there are so many 24-year-olds on this cast that I thought they forgot to change the ages as they put new names on the screen. They were all 24 for a period. So anyway, and last note, Serena says she's falling, quote, in like with Matt, and she's surprised at how quickly she's catching feelings for him. So that's the date. Anything else on that?
No.
Quick back at the house. Sarah still holed up in her suite.
She's hiding. She's hiding at this point.
She's hiding. Even if you're feuding with some people, you're on vacation, large group of people, even if you're feuding with them, if they're outside sitting by the fire under the stars,
you gotta go.
Just go out there.
You gotta go. The longer you wait, the worse the situation's gonna get. You gotta go out there, face the music. If she would have went out right away, it really would not be an issue. But now it's just boiling over. Everyone's getting more and more mad every single situation that she doesn't show up to. It's making it worse.
Serena P, one-on-one date, nighttime. Matt says he's enchanted with who Serena is. They make movies about this kind of stuff, enchantment. Yeah,
absolutely.
Previous relationship talk. Serena said one serious relationship. She thought he was the one. The breakup was hard. That's the gist of that story.
I thought these two were a little cute together, Rim. I know I say that a lot about pretty much everybody, but these two are cute together, okay?
I thought so, too. Both good-looking people with great smiles and good vibes.
Absolutely. I noted here, is Matt a pretty good bachelor? I'm not sure. He seems to be building good relationships with these women. Okay, he's building good relationships. Is he good?
I don't think he's a bad bachelor, no.
Is he pretty good?
He's got some, there's some good things. There's some really good things Matt does as the lead, no question. When he's
why'd you act like that was crazy?
Well, we just spent, I don't know, I don't know if you forgot, we spent the last 30 minutes questioning every decision he made. But when he's on these dates, when he's on the one-on-one dates particularly,
yeah,
I think he's very good on the one-on-one dates.
Agreed.
Matt's last relationship was a year prior to that moment. He says, I wasn't looking to date somebody if I wasn't going to marry them, so he took a step back. Serena asks the big question, if he's ever been in love. I don't know why she would ask that unless prodded, but she asked it. And he said he thought he was when he was younger, but now love looks different to him. He can't say he's been in love yet. He's rescinding that love he felt for the person when he was younger. That doesn't count.
I thought this was a strange thing to say to someone that's 22. He says, love for me looks different than it did when I was in college fresh out of college, which is exactly the age the person he's talking to.
Yikes. Is Matt a bachelor?
Is Matt a bad bachelor? Stay tuned.
I didn't even pick up on that because, again, I didn't know Serena was 20. Serena was 22. So
I just found that interesting to say that to someone who's in the age that you're saying that you didn't know what love was.
All right. Keep an eye on that dynamic.
Absolutely.
Serena was, quote, caught off guard by how fast things can move.
Just to be clear, I don't think he meant that as a shot at her.
No, not at all. He just
doesn't know what he's saying a lot of the times. He doesn't understand
how people are different at different ages.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maturity law-wise, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks she could potentially fall in love with Matt. Wow. Mm-hmm. Pretty good convo, AB. She just seems so excited. She's got an infectious energy. It's hard not to like her energy, Serena P. And Matt seems enthused as well. He gives her the rose. Cookie cutter nighttime date, in my opinion. They kiss. You're staring at your notes. Are you looking for something funny to say? There's not much here.
Nothing
here. It was
here.
A good date.
Yeah.
Hot tub time outside. Matt wore the turtle swim trunks. That was funny.
Was this the same hot tub as...
No.
You know, the chopped wood hot tub. It looked kind of similar.
Oh. Maybe. They just had that thing on a trailer?
It looked like they had moved that thing.
Is this a dunk tank that they're in?
It has a unique, like, backdrop to it. And that's why I noticed.
It's got a headboard.
I think it's got, like, a headboard to it, which I've never seen on a hot tub, which makes me think this was the same hot tub. They're just moving around.
1,000%. Okay? Great observation. consequential observation. That's the same hot tub. Anyway, they make out in the hot tub. His eyes were closed, presumably because there's too much moisture and condensation in the air that you can't.
But. Yeah, can't keep them open.
What do you make of this date? It's a good date. Straight to pee.
I like these two.
Yeah, period. Back at the house. The group is still annoyed by Sarah's absence. Wouldn't you know it, Sarah shows up right as Rachel pulls the date card. Literally as she's pulling it out of the envelope, Sarah strolls in. Big late to Christmas mass energy from Sarah here. Just kind of like, sorry.
Let me slide in scoop. Here. Excuse me.
Everyone's like, oh, wow, late to the big one, huh? Okay. Traffic wasn't bad. We've all been sitting here for an hour. You don't just get a good spot now. Yeah. We're crammed in here. Got here at 3:30. Okay.
Don't mind me. I will just slide in here.
Oh, sorry. Hold on a second. Could you hold up on the festivities? Everybody wait.
Let me squeeze in here.
Before the date card is read, they gotta have it out, apparently. Sarah says, let me clear some things up. She apologizes to everyone who was on that date, specifically to Katie, and also apologizes for not coming down earlier. A good apology, I'd say.
A good apology. Yeah, absolutely.
Hit what needed to be hit, apologize for the things that needed to be apologized for.
What else do you want her to do?
I think the whole thing should have ended after the apology. I think everyone should have said, all right, you know, we're still not thrilled about how it went down, but let's move on. You know, nothing we can do. Water on the bridge, squashed. Let's move on.
Somehow, Rim, somehow, surprisingly, her apology made it worse. I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
I don't either. Because it was not like an antagonistic apology. It was just it was fine. It got the job done.
Yeah, and it wasn't an apology that requires follow-up. This was a no question. I will be taking no questions after this apology situation. I apologize for this, this, and this. No further questions,
this was
please.
Tiger Woods, when he gave that press conference during his big scandal, he read his thing and he walked out.
No questions. No questions. I will not be taking questions at this time.
That's it. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry to him, her, and her, and that's it.
Yep.
But she does her own follow-up. She says, yesterday I was planning on going home. I knew what I was getting into. I just did not think it would be this difficult this fast. She says, if you guys had gotten to know me, and then I think some Victoria cut her off and said,
Victoria.
We don't know you. And, you know, again, Victoria, rude, but that's true. You know, you've been isolated for days.
Victoria went from a bad villain, in my opinion. I didn't think she was funny. I didn't think the gimmick she was going with was good.
This is going to be controversial, what you're about to say. Go ahead.
She changed. Her comebacks, in particular, were hilarious.
They were sharper.
She turned a corner here. They were sharp. They were funny. They were mean. Those are all the things
they
you need
mean.
From a
That's
villain.
That's my question. Do you think the...
Of course they were mean.
The
unnecessary, too. That's another thing they need to be.
Because this is what I have a note here. This is when Victoria... I think she loosened the cap for the group. Everyone was just sitting, listening. And then Victoria started tossing in comments, interrupting. I'm not sure anything anyone said here was unfair. Everything was based in fact. You took time away from us, blah, blah, blah. It just went on too long. It was too many people involved. It was overkill, this pile-on. It reminded me of a women tell-all. It really. So people say,
where
I love the women tell-all.
On one person.
This was a women tell-all vibe. Yeah. It was everyone getting their licks in for screen time. Us against this one person. That's what it felt like to me. A couple more notes. I said Victoria is a notch more rude than the others. Her comments were ruder than everyone else's. At one point, she says, I do not accept your apology, even if you say it 20 more times. Again, I'm a tough apology guy on the show. Like, this apology seemed sincere. And also, you weren't the main one who was wronged, Victoria. And secondly, Victoria, you went out there and pretended to be worried about Sarah when she did this. So now you're like, screw you. I don't accept your apology. I thought you were, you know, trying to be nice.
Most of Victoria's comments were made to make other people, they were kind of to, you know, fan the flames a little bit.
Sure.
Throw a little gasoline on the fire. Okay.
Yes.
They weren't, she mentions, like, who's she talking to when she said something like
she was, it was a little, am I right, ladies?
She was, it was to get the other girls more riled up. That's what she was doing, and I liked it.
Loosen the cap, like I said. Kit with the Kit, this again, this is just a notch. She says, I hope your connection with Matt is really strong, because the rest of your living situation here is going to be horrible. That is a borderline threat. It's going to be bad if you stay. Listen, like, whoa.
Listen, Riven and B hate someone breaking up a group date that isn't theirs. We love people that follow the rules, and we take it very seriously. But this just seemed a little bit too far from most of these women. To a little much. Like, was it really that big a deal that she showed up? Maybe. But her not showing up for the other stuff, that's really doesn't affect anybody here.
No,
like,
it
it's really
anything.
Not a big deal. If someone apologizes to you, what else do you want them to do?
At a certain point, they probably don't even want her to come down from a room. Yeah. They're having a great time without her. You know, and like we say, Sarah should know, you know what you signed up for. Well, everyone else knows what they signed up for too. And part of the show is somebody might interrupt your time on a group date, whether or not they're on the group date. You fight about it, sure, but, like, you know, this is not the first time it's happened. It won't be the last. But anyway, yeah, tough scene here. It was a women tell all pile on. Sarah says, all right, I'm out. Goes up to her room. Katie, she shows up to check on Sarah. She's like, hey, the vibe down there, not good. Wasn't my thing.
I didn't like what was happening down there. Okay.
No. Sarah says, I've made up my mind. I'm out. She explains that it's not just the others in the house. This turned on a dime, this episode.
Yeah, I mean, even with Rim and AB's notes, I'm sure they went from, you know,
it
we
got
were
super
ready.
Real.
We had the pitchforks in our hands. All of a sudden, I'm hitting the delete button a little bit. Let me pump the brakes on Sarah a little
yes.
bit.
That's how it went on this episode.
That's how this went.
It went from bad to worse to, like, oh, now we're hugely sympathetic.
Let me
towards
chill.
Towards the villain. Yeah, everyone relax from it. But here's what happens. She explains to Katie that it's not just the others in the house, but her dad is sick. So she's only told Matt this at this point. I believe I have feelings for Matt, but I'm not cut out for this. Sarah tells Katie that her dad has a terminal illness and, quote, it's not years or months. It's maybe weeks. Katie's dad, her dad passed away in 2012. So if anyone understands
she
what Sarah's
it.
Going through, it's obviously Katie. So this was a really sincere, real moment.
They're both crying.
Yeah.
Emotional.
She said, if you know, I missed out on my goodbye to my dad, and I don't think you should. If you have the opportunity, you should go see him.
And I think Katie had the foresight to see, you know, something's not adding up here with what's going on. Maybe we need to pump the brakes a little bit on how we're treating her and figure out, get down to,
if there's something else.
There's something else going on here. And she went to have that conversation, and there is.
And, you know, Sarah kind of hinted at that when she apologized after the group date. She was like, you know, there's things going on, but it was very, very vague.
It was vague, yeah.
So Sarah says, I'm going to go tell Matt I'm leaving. They share a nice hug.
This is a good moment.
Bizarre for the show to go from a pylon like that to, like, two people connecting on a level that you just, it's just, it turned on a dime, the show.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah goes to tell Matt she's leaving. Katie returns to the group and says, hey, Sarah's headed out. Let's try to keep
everyone
it classy here.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you what she told me, but let me just say, you all are going to look bad.
Yeah. That's basically what I was like. What we just went through, that we're all going to look terrible.
It's not going to come
when
off
when they
well.
Air this, when they air what we just did, it's going to, in retrospect, we're going to look bad. And hey, we always say here's my takeaway at this moment. You never know what someone's going through. Of course, you don't. But I don't necessarily blame the others for airing their grievances with Sarah. Some took it too far. The whole thing lasted way too long. But they had reason to be upset with Sarah. She did something that made their experience worse for them by taking that time away from the group date. Now, did the punishment fit the crime?
No.
In the form of that pylon? No.
Like you said, to begin the episode, everyone made some mistakes here.
Everyone made some mistakes okay. here. Yeah, no one's perfect, and not everyone had all the information at the same time. So
yep.
So Sarah's heads off to Matt's hideout.
Did you think she was really going home at this point?
No.
I didn't. I didn't.
I feel bad about saying that, but I don't. I did not think that.
I feel bad too. Yep.
She told Katie, I've made my decision, but there's, you know, on this show, even when people leave, I'm like, are they coming back?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
You don't know. Anything on this interaction, AB? I thought, here's when I thought she might stay. When Matt started going on and on about how much she wants her to stay there, that's tough to just say no to.
I mean, he's basically telling you, you know, I'm really into you and you're going to be here a long time as long as you just stay.
Yeah.
And I want to do whatever I can to make it work. I mean, Matt was ready to let her stay in that big, awesome suite he was staying
in. You can stay here if you don't want to stay with
them. You can stay
here.
Yeah. You don't have to come to anything. You can stay here if you want.
Yeah. But no, she decided to leave.
Yeah.
She left for real.
Did you notice this, Rim? When they're walking, he walks her out. Matt does a strange double arm wrap around her waist, like he's like, you know how like a prom
like you're
picture
posing for a prom photo.
He does that, but they're walking. It was very awkward of him.
That's definitely not a
go
goodbye
back and
forever.
Watch that if you didn't see
it. No, I noticed that. That's definitely not a goodbye forever move. That's a goodbye for tonight move.
I don't know that I've ever seen people walk like that.
She says she's telling Matt being away from her family's hard. There's some interesting things here. You wanted to approach this with tact because her dad is sick, obviously, but she didn't really bring that up with Matt. With Matt, she said, I feel unwelcome. Everyone attacked me in the house.
It was a little different.
Here's my takeaway from the Sarah situation. I just feel a little, it's not black and white, not with her leaving, not with the way they treated her. I like feuds on this show when it's easy to pick sides. I don't think there is a, you know, black and white side to pick here.
It's hard to take a side here. What are you going to take? Yeah. The anti-Sarah
side?
Mean
girl? Or are you going to take the, you know, are you, I don't know. Are you take the side of someone who ruined a group date?
You can't side against Sarah, but it also, there's a lot of red flags with the whole situation that makes you wonder what exactly. I just don't think we got the whole scenario here.
I agree. I think there's probably missing pieces that were not presented because first she said, I can't, this was all this episode. Mm-hmm. She started the episode, I can't handle seeing him have connections with other women when we have such a deep bond.
Mm-hmm. That's what started it all, right?
Yeah, that started the episode. She was like, I'm thinking about going home. I can't handle this. Seeing him with
basically,
other women
do the show. I can't handle the show. And that's
fine.
That
was reason number one. That's fine. It's totally fine. All the individually, they were all fine reasons for leaving.
Yeah.
Any one of these reasons is good enough. Then it became, I don't feel welcome here. The others are mean. Totally. Listen, if you
valid.
If it's a mean girl situation, get out of there. If that makes you feel better, no questions asked. Totally fine.
Rim and AB will not have a negative thing to say about you.
Then it became, my dad might only have a few weeks left. So it was a weird combo of like I said, wouldn't blame someone for wanting to go home for any of those reasons.
Absolutely not.
But to have three different reasons presented as your core logic for leaving makes me wonder
what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think we probably didn't get the whole story of what was happening there.
Yeah.
Yep. I would guess it's probably her dad and she probably didn't want to talk about it at every turn.
That's fair.
And like I said, you know, a lot of people were a little bit in the wrong, put it that way. Agree or disagree?
Agreed. 100% with everything you said.
Everything?
Everything.
You really mean that? Because sometimes I feel like you say that to wrap up a segment. Okay, wow. Well, now I feel good. So if someone disagrees with me and they want to get on me about what I just said.
I'll defend you.
Go at AB first. AB, get in front with the shield. All right. No rose ceremony. We're going to have one of those seasons, I think. There's a lot of no rose ceremony episodes at the end. Anything else before we get to the mailbag?
No, enjoyable episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
773-234-7794 is the number for the mailbag. Last week's question was, do you think Victoria is a good villain? We had some varied responses to this. I think it's probably 70-30 in favor of people saying no.
It'd be interesting. I kind of want to ask the same question again after this episode, but I'm not going to. But
I think it would scooch a little in the other direction, but
I think she had a positive episode for one. Let's just go through what happened with Victoria this episode. One, her nemesis just got cut. So she's just there now. Matt obviously likes her. I think she'll be here for a little longer than any of us anticipated. Two.
I agree.
just flat out, she got more funny. The stuff she was saying was more funny. The comedic timing was great. She handled every time she was on my screen. I had a much better time. I did not feel that the first couple episodes. This week, I was very happy to see her on my screen as a villain.
Most people didn't feel that way first couple weeks, me included. Her performance, her reading was funny. She had the crowd in stitches with the reading.
That's number three, hilarious reading. Four, it just seems like she's not the villain in the house quite as much anymore. It seems like she's got a group of girls who all support her now.
There's some comments in the mailbag similar to that, using her not having friends as a reason for, like, confidants as not being a great villain. Maybe she does, and we just didn't see until this week.
Yeah, I think she does.
All right, here we go. Aaron from Georgia. Victoria is not a good villain. Never before on this show have I disliked a contestant so quickly. Her statements to the group and in her side interviews are rude past the point of being entertaining drama and into just being annoying and oblivious. And the, quote, drama stirred so far with Marilyn isn't good. Remember, these are all from the pre-Marilyn beings. It's before last night's episode. It was like she forgot to actually stir the pot and went straight to reporting behavior that didn't happen, so there's no sides. Good drama has viewers and contestants picking whose side they're on, and Victoria only had me rolling my eyes. Thank you, Aaron. Emily from Mississippi. To me, Victoria is a good villain because she's both entertaining, making snide comments about not liking the other girls in front of them, and frustrating, gaslighting Marilyn. Looking at her Instagram, I don't think her act is fake. For example, she posted about her own birthday 5 times for 2 months before and after the day.
That's funny.
That's very funny. She's definitely being manipulated by producers, but I don't think she's aware or going along with it for airtime because she seemed to get really emotional in her confrontation with the girls during the fireworks show. I've met people like Victoria in real life, and all of her actions so far line up with that type of person, especially doing anything for attention, even if it's to her detriment. Thank you, Emily. Jamie from Chicago. No, Victoria's an awful villain. She's been playing a character from the start with her queen shtick right into starting drama with Marilyn. A good villain will organically stir up drama and is someone that the lead is into, causing the other girls to be insecure. I think the girls know that she doesn't stand a chance with Matt. She's also clearly not confident. A good villain is very confident, like Corinne or Crystal. She's not funny in the slightest. I'm really missing cheesy pasta days. Thank you, Jamie. Emily from Portland. Victoria does not have the makings of a great villain because she does not seem to be in on the joke. When you think back to the all-time greats, Vienna, Courtney Robertson, and Corinne come to mind.
People forget about Courtney Robertson, Rim.
Is it Robertson or Roberson?
Good question.
Right. What they have in common is how much they relished rubbing other girls the wrong way. They love to be hated, and we love to hate them. They also had
Robertson.
Okay. They also had unbridled confidence. I don't know why I said when I read it, I you said read it like, is Robertson? This right?
You said it, Robertson, then I said it, Robertson, and then you questioned it.
And Emily wrote Robertson.
And she wrote Robertson.
Well, I was just drawing on.
Anyways, people forget about her. She was a great villain herself.
I haven't seen that season. I've seen a lot of seasons now. Have not seen Ben Flanick's season. That's who she was, right?
Yeah.
I've heard some salacious details about.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You want to talk about bad bachelors? You're talking about him, by the way.
What they have in common is how much they relished rubbing other girls the wrong way. They love to be hated, and we love to hate them. They also had unbridled confidence that no one could shake. Victoria doesn't have it. Thank you, Emily. Gabrielle, Indianapolis. Victoria is the most fun. She's either acting or a plant, but I don't care. She's hysterical. It's the absurdity of Crystal and Corinne combined. Look out for Caffeine Girl as a late season villain. Thank you, Gabrielle. Lisa from Mississippi. I don't think Victoria is a good villain because she doesn't have any allies in the house. Are you that good of a villain if you can't pull anyone to your side? I think a good villain is a little smarter, a little more deceptive. As a viewer, I'd like to wonder about the villain's intentions. And Victoria doesn't leave anything to the imagination. Thank you, Lisa. Lauren P. from Michigan. Victoria, and then she has in parentheses, Ope. I don't know what that means, and I don't know what a lot of this means, so stick around for this. Victoria is a stage V palm. Double entendre a la Batman v Superman. Get ready, Netflix. Our queen is a plant.
I don't know what any of that means. I don't know what a single word you just said
No.
outside of Batman v Superman, which I have not watched.
No. I don't know what's going on. That's part of the reason why I included this. I have no clue what this means.
Okay.
It gets a little more coherent here. She knew to jump in before the wedding photo shoot got cut short. If she's not a plant, she's getting insider info in exchange for acting like a fool. She's killing it as the big V.
The big villain?
But what's stage V palm? Do we mean the Roman numeral, meaning five? Stage five? That's the only conclusion I draw. But Matt's got to get better at acting like he's in it for more than just the producers if she's going to stick around. Headed to join the FB page too sweet. I don't know. Thanks for joining the Facebook page. I'm confused by the message. I don't know what stage V palm means. I really don't. Thank you, Lauren P. Kelly from Dallas. I love Victoria as a villain. Her lack of self-awareness and willingness to insert herself in her opinion when she's not invited is gold. She has to be a plant because I can't believe anyone is actually that ridiculous. I find myself giggling so hard every time she speaks. I don't think the season would be as entertaining without her. Little Rorschach situation going on here. People like and dislike Victoria for the same reasons. Well said, Rim. All right. if he's reading it. All right. Majela from Florida. Victoria is not a great villain because she's not intentional. I think a great villain tries to be terrible, Crystal, or is such a horrible person that they're the villain in real life too, Chad Johnson. I don't think she's trying to be a villain or that she's a horrible person. She is that college friend who doesn't have a filter and has always had one too many drinks. That being said, I want to keep her around because it doesn't look like there will be a great villain this season. What happened to casting terrible people? Thank you, Majela. Vanessa from Boston. I don't think Victoria will go down in villain history because one of the qualities of a good villain is that the lead is really into them and the tension with the other women is based in reality. In this case, Matt doesn't actually like Victoria and the conflict with the girls doesn't make any sense. Hope we move on to some different drama soon. Thank you, Vanessa. I think that's the big thing is Matt's not going to pick her. So, you know, who cares? The people who are focused on Matt.
Just sing and ignore this.
Victoria will not bother them. Yeah. Valerie in Virginia. Victoria is definitely bottom of the all-time villain power rankings, and I will be happy to see her go as soon as possible. She does not create believable drama. Even if she isn't a producer plant or actress, she is a total producer prop to the point that it is insulting. I wish casting could find us another Courtney Roberts. This might be why I was confused, because she's got Courtney Roberts here, but it's Robertson?
It's Courtney Robertson, yeah.
Ben F season. I remember feeling legitimately horrified when I realized she was most likely going to win. She was great TV. Thank you, Valerie.
Yeah, people forget just a villain just won a season.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's amazing. That sounds awesome.
It'd be like if Corinne just won.
Yeah, which was a real possibility. Yeah. Sarah S. in Pittsburgh. First, I live super close to Nema Cullen, and while I have not stayed there, it's just as gorgeous in person as it seems on screen. That's great to hear, because we're going to be there one day. Second, Victoria's actions and villainy seem fake and even forced to me. It was too early in the show for the dramatic reactions she's having. It was the first episode, especially without knowing anyone yet, including Matt. And she kind of threw shade at Franco during the photo shoot, too. ! #bye. Thank you, Sarah S. Sandy, Victoria is a waste of our time. No wit, no fun, no spark.
Ooh.
Blah. At their best, even when zinging others, Demi Burnett and Jordan Kimball used language really, really well and entertained us. Victoria and her insecurity-fueled meanness, not in their league. Thank you, Sandy. One last one, unrelated. Amy from Delaware. I wanted to take a moment to defend AB on the idea that kids feign at choir concert dress rehearsals. I'm a choir teacher, and I've seen tons of kids, even college kids, faint or almost faint during long rehearsal or concert. Standing still, locking your knees, and being under hot lights for an extended period of time is the perfect recipe for disaster. It has always been a part of my concert day speech to tell my students to keep their knees bent and to catch their classmates if they start to fall.
Wow.
That sounds dangerous, these choirs these days.
I'm telling you, Rim. I tried telling you.
I'm actually shocked more women don't faint during rose ceremonies. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. Someone needed to defend me in what I said.
I saw articles about it. Like, don't lock your knees.
Don't lock your knees, Bachelor. Don't lock your knees.
Thank you for all the texts. We really appreciate it. 773. You tried to represent a good variety. 773-234-7794. What's the question this week?
I want to know what people think about the people being brought into the season. It looks like it's going to be this upcoming episode. I want to know before we see those people what you think about this. I think me and Rim have given our opinion, and we're anti-bringing people. We're very pissed.
Yeah.
I want to know what you guys think.
Good question. Do you have a headline of the week?
I do, Rim. It was a week for headlines, okay? This is
on the phone.
This is from New York Post.
Maybe homonym? Go ahead.
This is
same pronunciation, different meanings.
This is something you need to check out, Rim. Inside Matt James and Tyler Cameron's NYC bachelor apartment. This is from New York Post.
Oh, that's right. Because when Tyler moved there, Matt was there with him, right?
They are in, it's apparently some place a lot of celebrities go to, and they shouted out in their Instagram post. So I don't know if they're living there for free or what's going on. We're talking $8,000 a month, Rim, at this place. Beautiful pictures on this headline. They're living together in New York for, they don't know how long, obviously, because Matt might be engaged at this point, but.
So this is a picture slideshow that we should all check out?
I wouldn't even say you should really check it out. I just found it interesting. Life. They're living together in an awesome $1 million New York City apartment, okay?
A TikTok house, basically.
I've given you all the information you need. Just think about an awesome view in New York. Incredible place to live. They're living
Sounds
at.
Cool. Great headline.
Yes.
Okay, time for power rankings. I had Sarah number 2 last week, so that tells you where I'm at with my quality. Here are mine for this week. And I'm going to, they're written out, and I'm going to change them in my head before I say them. Number 4, Abigail.
A light Abigail week in terms of everything. Here's the thing, Rim. Half the people haven't had dates yet. They only went through one half's group date and then a one-on-one. We haven't had the second group date. We're still in week 3. We can't give. We shouldn't even be giving power rankings. Week 3 isn't over.
Listen, I got a new template for it. We got to do it. People go crazy. All right. Number 4, Abigail.
Okay.
Number 3, Rachel.
I don't know why you're saying it like that. I agree. You're
trying to
stay
make
tuned.
Me seem important. I don't know. Rachel above Abigail seems like a big shakeup.
I mean, that's absurd.
Number 2. Number 2, Serena P. Number 1 is still Bree. Barely any screen time for Bree this week. Short conversation with Matt and Bree on the group date. They're on the same page about a lot of stuff. I think they vibe. Okay. And yeah, I like those rankings a lot. I feel really strongly about those rankings. Let me write them down.
You feel really strong about these rankings, but it sounds like you just...
Who is number 3?
That you Rachel, just made off the top of your head.
No, Rachel. I feel very good about these. Rachel 4. No, the Abigail 4, Rachel 3, Serena P 2, Bree 1. I like those. I like those rankings. Lauren is out, and obviously Sarah's out. Let's hear ABs.
Okay. Number 4. This, no gimmicks here today, Rim. No gimmicks.
Whoa.
Okay.
Rare.
4. Katie. She had a good episode.
She's cool. Yeah, I
She's
like Katie
cool.
a lot.
I could see them having a good time. It was between her and Rachel.
I kind of view them slot. Similarly. Yeah. I view them similarly.
I think one or both will eventually get a huge push here. Number 3, Serena P. She got a one-on-one date. What do you want me to do? We haven't seen enough from anyone else.
No, you're right.
Number 2, Bree. Number 1, Abigail. Still there. Like I said, haven't got her date yet. Let's let her get a date before we drop her. Okay?
No, I'm dropping her. Not getting dates is
she hasn't got it yet. The week's not over.
Yeah. Well, once she gets it, she'll have an opportunity. I talk like a football coach about this sometimes. So let me get this straight, AB. You had Bree at 4 after her amazing one-on-one date last week. And now you have Bree at 2 after her not being on the episode barely at all.
Who did I have at 2 last week?
Katie dropped. Your rankings last week were Abigail, Katie, Chelsea, and then Bree. And the Chelsea, as you noted at the time, was like, she's got bomb ass outfits. That was the main reason.
Listen, these power rankings are all over the place.
They fluctuate.
What do you want me to do?
All right. Anything else, AB? Refer a friend month. Don't let that slide by. A lot
no,
of stuff going
I
on
mean,
this month.
People are just got to be stunned. Rimhead doesn't have the announcement yet. People in the Facebook group are going to be going
nuts for
this.
I did not want to highlight that again. I'll say this. It is better this way.
Mm.
The delaying it another week will be better for the people. All right. That's all I got.
Yeah, no. Did you mention the Facebook group? It's still exploding. I'm not going to.
There's a thousand people now.
I'm still having a good time in there. I'm not going to put a number that I want to reach this week. Let's just keep having good vibes and good time in there.
Did you say 1,000 last week?
Yeah.
Oh, just
and we
just
hit
it yesterday.
Yeah, we hit it.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. That's all we got. We'll talk to you next week with an announcement. Maybe.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.